Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Just a wee foreword before we start this. This is the most ambitious acting project we have ever done, so you need to bear with us. It has also been done with the most ever actors that we've ever had, which is a wonderful thing, but it also makes the stage space quite limited. So, as I say, you will follow the story. Most of you know it quite well. All we need to do now is introduce the Bible class. If we could have the narrators up, please.
Over 2,000 years ago, in a city called Nazareth, there was a young woman who was named Mary. Mary was promised to marry a man named Joseph, who lived there too. One day, an angel from God came and talked to Mary.
Hey Mary, you are going to have a baby and will be the Son of God.
And then the angel left. Now Joseph wasn't sure what to do. And when he heard that Mary was going to have a baby. So one night, while he was asleep, One night while he was asleep, the angel came to talk to Joseph too.
Hey Joseph. Joseph.
Huh?
Mary is going to have a baby, and he will be the Son of God. It is okay for you to marry Mary and take care of her and the baby. You will name the baby Jesus.
Okay.
And so, that's just what he did.
A while later, the emperor in Rome, Caesar Augustus, said that everyone had to go to their own hometown to be counted.
Everyone, go to your hometown so I can count you!
So Mary and Joseph went to Joseph's hometown of Bethlehem. There were lots of other people there too. There were so many people, in fact, that there was no room for them in the inn, so they stayed in the stable, which was a place where the animals stayed warm and dry.
There was a cow there.
There was a sheep there.
There was a chicken there.
And Mary and Joseph stayed there too.
While they were there, baby Jesus was born. And Mary took him and wrapped him up warm and laid him in the manger.
Aww.
That night, there were some shepherds out in the fields watching over their flocks of sheep. And the angel came and talked to the shepherds, and they were terribly afraid.
Do not be afraid. I bring good news. Jesus is born in Bethlehem. The Savior of all peoples, you will find him lying in a manger.
And all of a sudden, there were lots of angels saying,
Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill to men.
And then the angels left. Ahem, I said, and then the angels left.
And when the angels had left, the shepherds went to find baby Jesus in the manger, just as they had been told. And when they found him, they worshipped him.
Not far away from Bethlehem, in a place called Jerusalem, there lived a king named Herod. Herod was an evil man who was not interested in sharing the power over his kingdom with anyone else. One day, after baby Jesus had been born, wise men came to Jerusalem looking for the newly born king of the Jews. They asked King Herod where he was.
So the king asked his advisers,
Where is the king of Jews to be born?
In Bethlehem.
In Bethlehem. Go and find him so I can worship him too.
So the wise men went and found baby Jesus by following his star and they worshipped him.
But King Herod didn't really want to worship baby Jesus. He wanted to kill him. The wise men were warned by God about this, so they went home another way. And when the king found out he was tricked, he was really, really mad.
I'm so mad! The wise men tricked me!
So King Herod sent his soldiers to go and kill all the little male babies in Bethlehem who were 2 years old and younger.
Go kill all little male babies in Bethlehem who are 2 years and younger.
But God warned Joseph in a dream to...
Hey, get out of there. It's not safe.
And so they did.
And so Joseph and Mary and the little baby Jesus went to Egypt, and they stayed there until the evil King Herod died. After King Herod died, God told Joseph it was safe to come back because the people who wanted the child dead had now died.
Hey, it's safe now. You can come back.
Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus came back from Egypt, and they went to live in the town of Nazareth again. And that was where baby Jesus grew up until he was grown.
And so now you've heard it all about how God sent his only son to be born as a baby, so that later he could save everyone from their sins. And all it took was
just a little Christmas.
Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill to men.
Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God be with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Thank you to Murdo, and God will bless to us the reading of his word. Now let's join together to pray. Let's pray. God our Father, we thank you for the example of Mary, who in the midst of so much that was going on around her, found time to ponder the events of Christmas in her heart. And we pray that today your Spirit would be our guide as we seek to know more of your will for us and seek to love your Son Jesus more. And we pray it in his name. Amen. Well, folks, it was a wee bit weird last week not being in St. Paul's on that particular Sunday. But we did find a lovely church where we were able to worship, and it was very much what would be going on in St. Paul's at that moment. So you were very much in our minds and our hearts. But you understand, we just had to make a journey. We had to make a journey to welcome my new grandson into the family. And that was the first opportunity. That was the only opportunity that we were going to get. And it was just lovely to be able to say hello and to touch him and to hold him. And it reminded me that Christmas was a time for journeys like that. I mean, we saw and we heard all about it at the beginning of the service today, how there were shepherds who just had to make that journey from the hills around Bethlehem into the town so that they could see the king that had been born. That was the angel's message to them. And then there was the Magi, the wise men, although there were a couple of wise, well, I think they were all wise women in your play earlier on. But they came from hundreds of miles away. They made a journey because they'd heard the message that a very special king had been born in Bethlehem. So all these people making these journeys, and we had to make that journey as well to see our new baby. And, you know, people have been asking, you know, how is he? How is wee Busby? You know, folk are dying to know what a Busby looks like. You know, that's the whole thing. How is he? You know, and I've been saying, well, you know, he's just the most wonderful baby that's ever been born in the history of the world. You know, that's the way grandpas talk. Let's be honest. But as soon as you say things like that, you're reminded that the most wonderful baby that was ever born in the history of the world was Jesus. In fact, there was were people who received messages from God, and they delivered these messages to God's people. And there was a prophet called Isaiah, and he was given a glimpse into the future, to the day when God's Son would be born in the world. And you know, Isaiah was given the message that he would be wonderful. That's the word that's used in the Bible, that this baby to be born would be wonderful. Now, what we're going to do for the next few minutes is to think about why he was wonderful. And the first thing, I think, when we can say that Jesus was wonderful was because he was like us. He was like us. Murdo read from Matthew chapter 1, where it says that Mary gave birth to a son, and he was called Jesus. Mary gave birth to a son. And that's the way we all came into the world, each and every one of us. And that is the way that God's Son came into the world. And you know, when you hold a baby, you realize how fragile a baby is. You realize just how tiny a baby is when he or she is born. And here's a word. You realize how vulnerable a baby is. You know, because they can't do anything for themselves. They have to be fed. They have to be changed. They have to be bathed. They can do nothing for themselves. They're so vulnerable. And yet this is the way that God's Son came into the world as a tiny baby. And you know, that's a wonderful thing. You know, we have a hymn which says, "From heaven you came, helpless babe. From heaven you came, helpless babe." And that's the way Jesus came into the world, as a helpless babe. But the thing for us to remember this morning is that he is no longer a helpless babe. That he is in heaven. That after he died, he rose again and he went back into heaven. And it's brilliant for us today to remember that there's someone in heaven who understands exactly what it feels to be human. From the beginning of our lives to the very end. Jesus in heaven today knows what it is to be human. And that means that when we have the good times in life, when we're celebrating, Jesus' Spirit is amongst us and helping us to celebrate even more. But it also means that when we're having difficult times, when we're having painful times, when we're having sad times, Jesus' Spirit is with us to give us all the strength that we need to go through these times. So, this is wonderful to think that Jesus was like us. But we also need to remember he was wonderful because he was for us. He was on our side right from the very beginning. You know, I was saying Jesus was like us in so many ways, but there was one way in which he was not like us and not like anyone else in the history of the world. And it's this, that he never did anything wrong. Jesus never did anything wrong. And that is something for us to really think about, because we're all the same. Sometimes we say things that hurt other people. And sometimes we do things that are selfish. And sometimes there are opportunities for us all to be kind to someone, and for some reason we don't do it. We're all together in this. Very often we do things that are wrong. We get it wrong. And the Bible's got a word for this. And sometimes people throw up their hands in horror when they hear this word. But the Bible says that this is because of sin in our lives. All these things that we do wrong, it's because of sin. But remember from Mother's reading, what did the angel say to Joseph? You're to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Jesus is coming down to our level to lift us up to his level, to help us with this problem that we have in that we always seem to get things wrong. And so when Jesus died on the cross, he took the blame for all the wrong things that we do, so that we can make a new start in our lives. We can be forgiven and begin to live our lives the way he lived his life. Jesus he's on our side. He has come down to our level to raise us up to be the kind of person that he was. And that is another reason why he is wonderful. But you know, perhaps the most wonderful thing of all is that Jesus became like us. He was for us, and he did it because he loves us. All of this story is to help us to understand that God loves us so much. Remember what the Bible says. God loved the world so much that he gave his son. He gave the gift of his son, Jesus. You know, there's a hymn that I used to love to sing, and it starts off with these words. It is a thing most wonderful, almost too wonderful to be, that God's own son came down from heaven to die to save a child like me. That is a thing most wonderful, that God thought that each and every one of us was worth the life and death of his son. God loves us so much that he gave the gift of his son, Jesus. And, you know, when you love someone, then you want to get close to them. And that's another word that comes out of the reading that Murdo shared with us. Because when that prophet I was talking about earlier, when he was looking into the future at the coming of God's son to this earth, he thought, well, you know, a great name for him would be Emmanuel, which in the Hebrew language means God is with us. God is with us. He loved us so much that he wanted to get to us as close as he possibly could. And that meant showing his love through the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. God is with us. He couldn't be any closer to us than to have his love in his son Jesus. He was a sign of God's love. And if someone loves us that much, then he wants us to love him. That's the most important thing in our lives, to be able to realize that God loves us so much and that we respond to him in love so that our lives can be like the life of Jesus. God wants to be close to us to show how much he loves us so that we can love him. You know, in that service last week in the church in Cheltenham, it was called St. Matthew's, and the wee ones did a nativity presentation much the same as would be going on in St. Paul's last Sunday. And, you know, there was a wee shepherd. I think he was about 3 years of age. And he came waddling down the centre of the church. And he was up there at the manger. And everyone else was round the manger. There was Mary, there was Joseph, there was the Magi. Everybody was there. And this wee shepherd, he came waddling up, finding his way in. And he found a place near the manger. And he kept putting his hand out to touch the baby. And Mary kept going as he stretched out to touch the manger. It was quite funny, actually. And I don't blame Mary. Who knows, we kind of thought that that might be her wee brother, the way she was acting, actually. And who knows what havoc he was going to wreak upon the baby. But you know, God doesn't, he wants us to be close to Jesus. He's not slapping our hands whenever we go out, reach out to Jesus. He wants us to be as close to him as we possibly can. And that means putting our trust in the Lord Jesus. You know, we had the play at the beginning of the service, and it was wonderful. You know, and it emphasized, you know, just this simple thing, that the birth of a baby, just a little Christmas, can make such a difference. And you know, what I'm really praying for every single Christmas is, you know, you get to my stage when you've had 35 Christmases behind you. You begin to think, you know, oh, it's just another Christmas. But what if this one time in the whole year, which is about this one baby and about the love that God showed to us through this baby, what if this small time in the year about a baby born in a small town in a small country, what if there was a massive difference in someone's life this Christmas because of that story that the Bible class shared with us at the beginning? What if somebody this Christmas becomes, for the first time, a follower of Jesus, dedicated to him and following in his ways? What if someone who's been a follower of Jesus for a long time suddenly is touched by the love of God and realizes that there's something special for them to do in the world? And what if each and every one of us comes out of this time not only with the memory of the parties and the dinners and the special services and everything, but with a deeper sense of God's love for each and every one of us? Because it's the most wonderful thing in the world to be caught up in God's great plan to show his love, to establish his peace, and to take a stand against injustice in the world today. Because all of that is a foretaste of what God will accomplish in the end of all things when Jesus returns and sets up his kingdom on this earth. Now, if these small things in people's lives can happen, then it will truly be the most wonderful Christmas that we've ever had. Now, let's pray together. God, our Father, we give thanks to you for the story of Jesus. We thank you for the power of this story and how it can make changes in even the most difficult areas of our world. And we ask that something new will be happening to us this Christmas. That perhaps if we haven't made that commitment to our Lord Jesus, that that will happen. And if something needs to be done that you want us to do, that we will move forward with that. And that together, wherever we are, whatever we're doing, our love for the Lord Jesus will increase. And we pray all of this in his name. Amen.